Welcome to the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast, ripping through you roast chicken style. And, well, the Cats got torn apart like a roast chicken on Sunday, didn't they, Kingy? Ben Castagnelia with you. And, look, there was feathers flying on Sunday, and they were unfortunately all flying in the direction of the brown and gold.
The Cats in a slump?
Yeah, it's a slump. It's official slump.
When you're two and
wheels are starting to come off, Kingy. Yeah.
Do they still finish top two?
Well, you know what the biggest problem with the Cats is? They haven't beaten anyone above them on the ladder. No.
Well, actually, they have.
Earlier in the year. Yeah. Look, I was prepared to sort of dismiss the 2-2 for the last month and sort of say, yeah, look, it's winter. They're on top. Teams come for them. All those sorts of things. And sort of say, yeah, look, you're not going to be up all year. You know, Sunday was a game that you would have thought after the week before, the couple of weeks before, that Geelong would have found a way, a spark against an arch rival. And they were basically dictated to for the entire game. They were on the back foot. They were never going to win that game. It seemed like they, even when they made...
They started all right.
They did. They started okay, but then they just... even when they were sort of getting closer in the final quarter, you never thought the Cats were going to win.
No.
I might have
said that in the commentary a couple of times.
So the problems are, and we've spoken about it ad nauseum, obviously the ruck, we don't need to talk about that because we know that, I mean, Zach Smith, you would think, gets a chance as well.
Well, I think you don't have to be Einstein to work that out, that then if a bloke's challenging for a spot on the side, a football club's not saying, well, you're having 2 weeks off. Because he didn't play in the VFL last week and there's no VFL this week.
And my thing with that is then, I mean, let's put it this way. Reece Stanley's mental state in terms of his confidence would be fragile.
So they would have been better off playing Smith on Saturday?
Well, Reece Stanley goes into that game knowing that Zach Smith's playing the following week, I would have thought.
Yeah.
So that's doing him absolutely no favours in terms of his confidence.
Or does that throw down a challenge to him?
Well, yes. And he didn't respond. He stunk it up, unfortunately.
Yeah. So can they play Smith and Stanley, or is Stanley being
not
managed?
And Radicalia. No, Stanley will be managed.
Yep.
And that's what they'd be saying to him. You're just being managed. Mm. But they'd be seriously now looking at Zach Smith stepping in. Now the ruck,
Smith and Smith's going to have a bloke called McLean that's done not much.
So in turn, there's a bit of pressure on Zach Smith to come in and play well. He wouldn't want to be dictated to by a kid who's played 4 minutes.
Following week's Aaron Sandilands.
Yeah, well, that's a big, you know, you want to break even then, you're probably going well, particularly in the ruck. You'd like to maybe get a bit of the ball around the ground.
And then it's Goldstein.
Big Finkelstein. Well, it's...
Then it's Steph Martin.
Do you know what? It's wide open. Let's put it that way. 6 weeks ago, we were saying, yeah, Reece Stanley's going okay. Zach Smith's going to find it difficult to get in, other than potentially a game where Reece Stanley is injured or managed.
Yep.
Now we're saying it's completely wide open. Yep. If Zach Smith was to come in and belt the kid out of the park this week, which you'd say, yeah, okay, he should because he's an experienced player, but play well and then back it up and be reasonable against Aaron Sandilands, suddenly there's a massive decision to make.
Yep.
Because you've got...
They've got to settle on something by the time you go to Brisbane.
Yeah, the ruck's one you can change. My thing, the other issue for the Cats is that a lot of the smaller forwards and mid-sized forwards now are either out of form or not playing well on the same day.
I suspect Tom Atkins might find himself out of the side this week.
Gary Rowan's gone from chocolates to board lollies.
They won't drop him, though.
No, they won't drop him.
But I suspect Atkins is in a bit of trouble, and I reckon James Parsons might be in a bit of trouble.
I would have thought. I can't understand. I mean, I know he's a whipping boy, James Parsons. He comes in and does it all the time.
Hmm.
He's a good VFL player.
Yep. And sometimes that's your level in life.
I'm not sure why. I just don't understand why he was... I know why they played him on Sunday, giving that expecting him to play in the midfield a little bit. I think that Sam Simpson potentially, not quite big enough just yet and missed some of the pre-season. So he...
Parsons is in front of him.
At the moment, yeah. I think in football, talent-wise, Simpson is...
A superior talent.
He's absolutely superior to Parsons. But Parsons can maybe play a little bit of a role that Simpson couldn't. But I would have loved to see them give Simpson a go. I'd love to see them give him a go this week.
I think it'd be Narkle.
Narkle. And, well, could they bring in Narkle and Simpson and drop Parsons and
Atkins?
Atkins.
Yeah, absolutely they could. So, yeah. One of them's going to have to play some midfield minutes, though. And it's going to have to be Narkle.
Well, he's the one who can. Yeah.
The other thing is, too, I'll factor in playing on the SCG where it's a little bit tighter. Bit more contested. So that might rule Simpson out.
Not yeah, so maybe.
Simpson might, they might just say with that smaller body, they might just say he might be better suited to go to Perth.
Maybe.
Because I'll tell you who's not playing in Perth.
Gazza.
Yeah, they won't play Garrett. They will not play him on that surface.
No. No, well, you're probably right. And that'll be good. That'll be great for Simpson to get a crack.
Yep.
Show what he's capable of and put his name up.
Well, we'll know early because we'll know by who they've
said. So what's happened to Gary Rowan?
I can't put a finger on it. I don't know. The Geelong ball movement hasn't helped. He got a lot of one-on-ones earlier in the year leading up at the footy. And the way Geelong have moved the footy since the bye hasn't helped.
No, I agree.
What's happening is Geelong are being forced to attack. So they're being beaten in the middle. They end up having to attack from half back. And as a result, the opposition knows Geelong's MO and they've been able to roll numbers into defence. And that's why they've kicked in their three losses. What have they kicked? 8-8-7 or 8-7-7? A lot of it's got to do with the fact that they're being beaten out of the middle. And then when they're being beaten out of the middle, it happened last year. Geelong was starting their attack from inside defensive 50.
Hmm.
And when you do that, you give your opposition a chance, especially good, well-structured, well-coached opposition like Hawthorn. Hawthorn didn't have the best team on the park on Saturday in terms of talent.
No, but they dictated to the Cats.
But they had the best coach team.
Yeah, well, there you go. Have you got this? Have you got this sick feeling in your stomach that the Cats could
straight sets?
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen. Obviously,
but it's just starting.
I was thinking that's 100-1 a month ago. Now I'm starting to have that eerie feeling of oh no.
It's got a little bit of 2014 written all over.
Because you've got some other sides who are going in the opposite direction to Geelong.
Who's trending? Richmond are trending up.
West Coast are finding ways to
Giants
win.
Giants are trending up.
Yeah, and even
Essendon.
I know Collingwood had a stinker on the weekend, but they did beat West Coast a week or so ago. So you've got some sides who, particularly Richmond and West Coast, who are on the way up. And right now the Cats are, they're just sort of, I'm not sure what they're doing.
Other than Carlton in round 23, how confident are you of Geelong beating Sydney this week?
I'd like to say confident. I think they've got to beat Sydney this week.
Fremantle in Perth?
Yeah, I think they can. Let's put it this way: if they play well, they win both those games.
North Melbourne.
That'd be an interesting game.
Brisbane in Brisbane.
I think they can win that.
And then Carlton at home last round.
That. Yeah, so, I mean, if they play well, they win all those games.
Three and two gets them top two still.
Yeah, I still think they'll finish top, but it's just the way that how they limp into finals.
They lose to Sydney this week.
Yeah, they lose to Sydney this week, it probably opens up a little bit. But it's your form going in. You want to be on the up. You want to be, and this is my point that Geelong early in the year, you don't want to be peaking too early. You don't want the climax to come when it's not there and presenting, Kingy. You don't want to be.
Nobody's won the marathon by being first out of the stadium.
No, that's exactly right. They don't award the $7 million for the Melbourne Cup after they've gone 1,400 metres.
After they go past the post for the first time.
No, at
Chiquita Lodge.
What's his name? The marketing baron. What's his name? Who owns all the horses? Shout out everyone.
Singleton.
At the bar. Yeah, John Singleton, his horse. Didn't it lead up the Melbourne Cup?
Mm.
First time round. Something Sally? Many years ago.
Anyway. Not lay down.
Wasn't lay down, Sally. Anyway, I've got to get the Cats up and about. My thing about they've all those small forwards, even on Sunday, and you wouldn't absolutely question his effort because his effort was first class. Luke Delhaus didn't have a tackle in the first quarter. In the first half.
Him and Myers had how many between them at half time?
No.
Two?
I don't think they had any.
And then they got a little bit going in the third quarter.
And Delhaus was busting his ball. I'm not questioning his effort. His effort was there. But for whatever reason, Geelong's game style now is not lending itself for those guys to be getting involved like they were with tackle pressure.
Yep.
And it's
because that was coming as a result of quick entries inside 450 where they were causing spillages through the likes of Radigalia and Rowan. When Rowan wasn't marking it, he was bringing it to ground. Radigalia was bringing it to ground. Ball would hit the deck, and if Geelong didn't hit it first, they hit the player from the opposition who got the ball first, and that was Atkins, Dalhouse, Myers going, you're going nowhere, repeat inside 50, and eventually Geelong goal, bang.
Well, small SCG might help them.
Yeah, won there last year.
Yeah, they might help them in getting that ball in long and those guys. But look, they've got to find a way to fashion to spark, and I don't know where that spark's going to come. But they've got to find a way to get that happening.
Is Tim Kelly the Brownlow favourite?
He's got off the boil a little bit.
But is he the Brownlow favourite?
No.
Kelly's not winning the Brownlow.
His last month, he's just sort of got off
the boil. He's winning the Geelong Western Ferris, but he's not winning the Brownlow.
What about Clangerfield?
Clangerfield. You didn't make that up yourself.
No, I didn't. Someone actually, I read that and I thought that's a bit disrespectful.
A little bit.
Do you know what I was thinking? And look, he's a great player. He does things that most can't. But it's funny that his kicking has never, ever improved, has it? They train all summer. They train all week. They got balls in their hands all the time. His kicking has never improved.
No, we've spoken about this before.
I'd love to ask him whether he ever works on it. Yeah. Does he practice his technique? Because his technique is all over the show. And clearly that's why his kicking's all over the show.
Can't answer that.
I wonder if anybody's on him, mate. Improve. You can never not stop getting better.
Better, correct.
But he's supposed to be one of the best players in the competition, and his kicking wouldn't be in the top 500 in the comp. And it's never got any better.
Reason for the Cats to win this week?
250 games for the great number 26.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's been great.
He was put under the pump early, wasn't he? Like people look at this script. If he would have gone pick one in the 07 draft, 06 draft, if he wasn't father son. Is that fair to say?
Pick what? One?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, potentially. He might probably gone pick top three. I don't know about pick one, but yeah.
But he would have been.
Right up there.
So he would have got some. And he did get some serious scrutiny. And gee, the Geelong fans went hard on him early. The 09 grand final put a little bit of. Took a bit of the heat off. But it wasn't until 2011. When he played in that starring role in the second half of it took him five seasons to.
He
showed glimpses, but it took 5 years, or the best part of 5 years, until the fans got off his back.
It used to, well, and even then they still get on. Get on his back.
Won the Brownlow the Cargy the following year,
and they still get on his back though.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
If he's not kicking six goals,
it's not
modern footy.
In an era where we don't have the power forwards kicking 80, 90, 100 goals. The fact that he's returned 540 from 250, and considering probably his first 80 games, he played a lot. He spent a lot of time as a backup ruckman or second fiddle in the forward line to a Mooney or a Podsy Adley. Is it a Hall of Fame career?
No, it's not far away.
It's obviously a Geelong Hall of Fame, but is that an AFL Hall of Fame career for Tom Hawkins?
Yeah, I would have thought.
Depends on where he finishes. If he gets to... He's every chance of kicking 700 goals in his career.
He's every chance of playing 300 games.
Oh, he'll definitely play 300.
3 years.
Yeah. Oh, well, what is he, 250 here? He'll finish the year the best part of 260. Yeah, so he'll only need two.
Right, if his body holds up.
And he's contracted until... He hasn't missed a game this year. He's been extremely durable. I think since 20...
He doesn't miss much.
2011, he's played...
Bar his back.
I think he played 19 games in 2015 when they only played the 21. Other than that, since 2011, I think he's played 20 games plus every year. That's a fair return.
Yeah, and he's in, you know, he's kicking the ball beautifully. He's set shot kicking for goal.
He's
good.
Is he Geelong's best field kick?
Well, he's one of them. He's size, he's very good in traffic too, and
that ruck.
And he's a likable sort of guy too.
He was very good with us on Friday Sunday after the game.
Yeah, he was. He's just a his mum and dad have done a good job with him, and he's kept his feet on the ground, and he's probably Geelong's most important player. Not their best player, but he's probably Geelong's most important player.
46 is handy.
Yeah, he played well the other day. Had a couple of goals kicked on him, but when you're having turnovers and the ball's going back at a mere miles an hour, sometimes that's going to happen in footy. But yeah, Hawkins. I've said it before. Hawkins and Blitzer's the two most important players. Yeah.
Well done, Tom Hawkins.
We got any? Yeah, it's great. It's good. It's hopefully that Cats. No doubt they'll London Fog and Lift for him on Sunday. Got any questions?
And we've got a few from Twitter.
What have we got?
At Carrick Football, Heath Buck.
I know.
Is the round 23 clash against Carlton a chance to be played on Friday night? You're an idiot, Bucky. Does Reece Stanley hold his spot so as to help cheer off Tom Hawkins for his 250th? Going to take some strong men. Also, well done to T-Bone. Super effort for a key position player to get to 250. I don't think Reece Stanley holds his spot.
It'd be really interesting. I'd be really interested to see that team on Thursday night.
I think it will be a squad.
Oh, it'll be a squad. Yeah,
I tell you what, when are you calling Friday night? No, Chuck and Coz are going to have a bit to talk about, because that team will be confirmed by the time they go to air for Collingwood Richmond on Friday night.
It'll be interesting selection. The problem, we spoke about it a little bit on K-Rock Footy on Sunday, that one of the issues for the Cats is that they can change ruckman. I've got no problem with that if they wanted to suddenly change late season and install Zach Smith as
NRL. But the thing is, Smith has played, what, 4 games in 2 years? Well, best part of 2 years?
Yeah. So he needs a bit of a run.
He's got to have a run. Yeah. If it's going to happen, it's got to happen
but
now.
But you can change your ruckman. That's no problem there. The problem is that you can't make wholesale changes to a team you've played all year.
No.
So they can't.
They can make three. They could. They can make three. I reckon they'll make three or four this week.
So you've just, you know, right now, if you were, you know, if Geelong weren't where they were, would you be, you might consider dropping Gary Rowan? I'm not saying you would, but I'm saying you'd be considering it. But you've also got Atkins out of form now, who's just struggling to impact. It's his first year of senior footy.
It was going to happen eventually.
Yeah, and it's happened. You've got Myers, who's been okay, but he's up and down. It's going to happen. Yep. He's a first-year player. Rowan's struggling. Delhouse has been reasonably steady, but he's not a polished sort of player, but he's a busy sort of player. And when you've got guys like Ablett and Rowan playing well around him, he then could be the little terrier that doesn't necessarily need to have the most polish. But, I mean, what do you do? Are you suddenly just going to throw all that out because you've got Atkins? You're talking about Atkins being out, Parsons going out, Gary Rowan's out of form, Gary Ablett needs a rest. You're suddenly changing the whole mix of your forward
line.
You've
got to be careful.
So they've come this far. I think they've reached the tipping point of maybe just keep pushing on with some of these guys and hope for the best.
Max Blake, if we had a mid-season trade period right now, what trade would you do for Geelong? Well, it depends on who's available. Would you have gone and got Sauce Jacobs?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I would have thought you'd get someone who's big and can ruck. That'd be good.
Chris Hickey, do you agree we need to recruit a very good ruckman? Let Geelong move the ball from defence. It should be conventionally from your ruckman, ruck rover. That's what should happen. Geelong don't use them. When they do, the game is on the line. That's a little bit rambling, but yeah, I think the premise is there about, there is a ruck issue, and it was glossed over, I think, when Geelong were
11-1. I mean, Geelong fans, all you can hope is that one of those two that they decide to go with, whoever it is, gets it right when it counts. Mm. They're not going to be Brody Grundy or Nick Natanui or Max Gawn.
Goldstein, yeah.
You're replacing Zach Smith, who, as you said, played 4 games in 2 years. There's a reason for that. So you're not exactly bringing in a bloke who's been absolutely on fire, who's just coming back from an injury. You're bringing back a player that the club considers to be a B-grade ruckman.
Yep.
So you've got two B-grade ruckmen. You just got to hope one of them can elevate to A-grade on the day where it counts. But I wouldn't hold your breath.
Yep. The clear change, this is Glenn Powell, question, the clear change from the pre-post buy has been our inability to move the ball quickly, especially when rebounding off halfback. What opposition tactics can lead to this slower play style, or is this self-inflicted? And if so, how do you fix it? It's a bit self-inflicted because when you are losing the ball in the middle and you're attacking from defence, you're making life hard for yourself. And instead of trying to attack through a 6-6-6, you're attacking, you're looking up and you're going, gee, there's 35 players ahead of me. They're not going to try and get this ball down the field.
The ball movement obviously is an area the Cats have taken a backward step. Now, it's been, they've lost 3 games. I must admit, though, Sunday was concerning. They'd want to get back on the horse pretty quickly and put in a pretty good team performance that sort of suggests that they're getting back or they're at least finding ways to rekindle that early season form. May not come in 1 week, but they need to be trending into finals in form. You don't want to go into finals having this up and down sort of. Yep. I just don't think that is end up going to win you the premiership.
Especially if you run into Richmond in the qualifying final.
West Coast
at the MCG
in the first week, or even Collingwood, which is you're going to get one of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Adrian Mancini, Chris Scott keeps referring to how the letter is not reflective of the team. Is he downplaying or is he just as worried as most about the finals and how we struggle in them? I don't think he's concerned about the final struggles, but he's been on about this since about round six, that the latter isn't truly reflective of where Geelong's at. Geelong played some very good footy, but there was times they played some poor footy but still won.
Which is usually the sign of a good team, though.
Yeah, true.
I think he's right, though, Chris Scott, in that it is all about, at times, the latter can be sometimes a misrepresentation of where teams are in the pecking order simply because it's when you get teams, it's when you play teams. Now, Geelong played West Coast when they were probably at their lowest ebb. They had a howler of a start. They played Melbourne. That form has proven to be, you know, we beat Melbourne by 80 points and everyone jumped up and down. Well, that form's proven to be.
And that was Melbourne coming off a limited pre-season with blokes coming back from surgeries, etc. You get Collingwood off the fact that Geelong had a three-week head start on them.
Yeah. And then you get, you know, there's a couple other games in there. I mean, against the Bulldogs the first time around and against North Melbourne.
Yep.
Straight kicking helped them.
Yep.
They were accurate and efficient up forward. And so, look, I agree. I certainly agree with the coaches. Sometimes you look at the ladder. And if you just look at the ladder and think first is playing 11th, so they should win by 8 goals. And then when first plays 10th, they should win by 7 on a sliding scale. You're absolutely...
Not in this day and age.
You need to have some sort of operation that involves your cranium being rearranged, because that's just not the way AFL footy works. That happens in the BFL.
Big question. Will Scott have the guts to make changes? E.g. drop Stanley, Parsons, Atkins, and go Smith, Menegola, Parfitt. Well, Parfitt will come down to his back. Parfitt's fit, he'll play.
Yep, let's hope so.
But we don't know whether he'll be. It's a back
Menegola
issue.
Menegola probably might need another one or two.
No footy this week.
Yeah, that hurts. That's not ideal because
I suspect he's playing this week because they said they could have played him the week before and they didn't. And they put him through a bit of a training block.
The old training block.
So I suspect he's playing because they had the option to play him the week before and they went conservative and decided to train him up rather than play him. So that's why I'm thinking Menegola will be in the squad. They rate him. And do you know what? I think he's actually underrated. He played 50-odd consecutive games.
Yeah, he's a ball magnet. He's not
flashy.
No, and sometimes he does do some things that frustrate you. He likes doing the big U-turn sometimes and doesn't go the first option. But, yeah, look, he's a handy player and he offers them something a little bit different. He's aerobically very good, which allows him to get back and help defend.
We saw that, was it the Adelaide game earlier in the year? A couple of his efforts going back.
Yeah.
Defensively.
But he's the sort of player that will take a couple of weeks to find his feet.
You might as well get him in now then.
Yeah, I agree. He's
Don't wait until round 20.
It's a bit of a risk, but yeah, I'm probably with you on that. But don't expect him to come out. If he only has 12 possessions, you know, he'll only get better. He's not a star of the comp who's going to come in first up Scalacci style and blow him away over 1,000.
Trunk logic. Can Quinton Narkle still win the Brownlow from here? Who will Stefan Okenbaugh replace this week? Did James Parsons have anything to do with the pyramid collapse? What lolly is the king of mixed lolly bags at local footy? Remember King Rats. Thank you, Drunk Logic.
Is that what you said?
Narkle, he would need 5 best on grounds and nobody
king
to poll.
King Rats? What are those giant rats?
Yeah, they're nice, they'll be 4 giant snakes. James Parsons have anything to do with the pyramid collapse. James was not with us when pyramid collapsed in 1990. Stefan Okenbaugh's got a bit of work to do in the VFL. Leon Compton, he's a follower. He's a radio man down in Hobart. He's Leon Compton. Hello, gents. Love the podcast. Question. Stephen Wells is a guru, but how do you explain his almost complete inability to draft a ruckman since Mummy, our best ruck, is approximately the 35th best ruck in the AFL? Could Wells have a medical condition?
Well, they haven't drafted. Who have they drafted?
Mummy's the only one they've drafted. They drafted West. They drafted Mumford. Dawson Simpson.
Well, they drafted Darcy Fort, but he was not a young player. They haven't developed him. He's been developed elsewhere.
So, but Geelong's...
And they drafted Abbott, but he was a mature age player.
Yeah, they've never drafted...
They've just absolutely shied away from drafting a ruckman.
Dawson Simpson was... Oh, sorry, Mumford was the last ruckman they drafted. And even then, he was slightly mature age.
He was on the rookie list.
Yeah, he was a couple of... Well, yeah, he still had a rookie draft.
Yeah.
But in terms of national draft...
They're not the only
draft,
club that hasn't drafted ruckman either.
But wasn't there... There was a story done earlier in the year where you look at it and it was just a chain of where the ruckmen are. Nobody's actually... Just about every ruckman in the comps...
Well, I did a thing last year, I think, there was, of the nine... I don't know what the numbers would stack up like this year, but of the nine... Of the 18... In any given round, let's say it was round 14. I'm just throwing a round up there. The first choice ruckman in that round, nine of them... had been taken from other clubs.
Clubship.
So, but the problem is the wheel turns, Kingy, because, you know, some of the early ruck draft picks failed. They didn't come in, they were taken high, and there was, they didn't, I mean, Cruz has been a really good player, but he's been so injury prone.
Yep.
Josh Fraser ended up having a 200-game career, but was maligned.
He was never dominant.
Maligned, you know, Jeff White, So there was a lot. So every club then shied away from taking them.
Yeah.
But I reckon that I got a funny feeling it might come back because Collingwood took Brodie Grundy pick 18 when he was expected to go pick 10. Mm. Inside top 10. And they've been rewarded in spades. The Bulldogs, I think, are going to be similar with Tim English. Yep. Give him he needs a couple more years. Nat Nui at West Coast was obviously taken high. It's one that has worked out. But I reckon the Grundy-English thing will then be the switch for clubs then to say, oh, yeah, okay, maybe we can take that ruckman and let's put ourselves on the line because look what's happened at Collingwood, look what's happened at the Bulldogs. But the Cats, I think, this year need to draft a ruckman or they at least need to fashion a trade in which they secure a youngish ruckman that they can manipulate and not a 25, 26-year-old out of the GFL or out of the Sandfuller, a young player who's maybe got some experience.
Is this where they try and work with Fremantle to try and get Darcy?
Well, maybe. If he wants to come back, I wouldn't be against that.
Darren Murray, do we have too many defenders in the team right now? Blitzarves, Taylor, Collegeasney, Henry, Stewart, Tui, O'Connor, Buse and Clark makes 9 of the 22. Well, on the weekend, Henry didn't play. Clark is now playing more of a midfield role.
Yeah, I think he is. I just don't think he's a first-year player. It's a big
ask. He's played some good footy.
He has been good, yeah. I mean,
he's not losing his spot anytime soon.
No, he doesn't. There's certainly others way ahead of him in terms of on the losing their spot scale. But, he's been good. Someone made a good point on Sunday that that Geelong have a lot of players, even though who was saying they've got too many defenders?
It was from Daz.
Daz,
not Broncos.
I'm not against that theory. I just think that Geelong, in complete contrast to that, they have a lot of players who are so attacking that they don't always defend that well.
No,
particularly in the midfield, they just have those sea ball get plays, and they have very aggressive starting positions.
Yep.
So when it goes pear shaped, it goes pear shaped. So that's where guys like potentially Menegola. Scotty Selwood have a different sort of mindset. That's where they can balance
Scott
that out.
Scott Selwood's first year at the club was 2016.
Yeah. He's had a horrible run with injuries.
So he, if I'm not mistaken, I reckon round 18 was when he came into the side in 2016. He'd had all those issues injury-wise, played a bit of a stint in the VFL. Maybe they're looking at something similar. And he did have an impact. Sorry we're keeping you awake, Benny.
I've been up since... Been up
Sparrows.
From, oh, it's been a hectic.
You did yesterday off, didn't you?
I played golf at the Dunes yesterday.
Did you really? How'd you hit them?
You know the old chook facing east?
Yeah.
You know what happened to him?
What'd he do?
He laid the same egg three times.
Or she.
Oh, wow. It was windy. It was absolutely windy. It blew a dog off a chain.
How'd you hit him?
I slept well.
You got value for money.
I did, yes. It wasn't ideal, but it was a lovely track. I'd never been there before. If you've got nothing else to do, get yourself down there.
Cat is 28 off Big Footy. Hey, guys, can you blokes please try and give Cat fans some insight as to what the club sees in James Parsons? Surely now his papers have to be stamped.
Yeah, you don't want to just pull players out because everyone's, James Parsons busting his boiler like any other bugger out there. I've always sort of said, and even right from early on, he just doesn't quite have the skill set to play the position they ask him to play. And they're trying to make him a midfielder. That's certainly, I don't think, his go. He's getting played out of position now.
Well, that's what he's played well, playing as a midfielder
in the VFL. Yeah, not in the AFL. It's just a different kettle of fish.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what they see in him, but they certainly, because they push him up in the VFL and they keep playing him, they give him those opportunities, and he generally is on the disappointing side of the scale when he plays in the senior. So do you think he'll play this week?
No.
Do you think they'll keep him in?
No. I'm also wondering if it's just a coincidence that the defence looked better at the start of the season when Tui and Buse weren't in the side. Tui has been out of form this year, and I think he's a huge worry going into September. Zach Tui's not playing good footy.
No, he's not.
And he butchered the footy on the weekend.
He had a kick out in the full, didn't he? He must have had a couple of Guinnesses pre-game.
I don't think Buse has been bad. Buse is, you know what you're going to get with Busey. And we love Busey, but we just know
he needs to lock onto someone.
He's just a lockdown defender.
Yeah, he's got to do that.
Yeah, and if they're bobbing up and kicking goals. See, he spoke to the media last Thursday, and he was asked about Hawthorn's forward line and locking down on somebody. He said, oh, he goes, I'll probably go through a couple. Do you know what they should have just said? Busey, you're going to Luke Bruce. And you don't leave him.
But he may not have the tank to go with Luke Bruce, because Luke Bruce goes up into the middle every now and then.
All right, so does he go to Puopolo then?
The board game. Play with two, die.
All right.
Do you ever sit down with the family and play a quality game of Puopolo?
No.
Do you know how to play it?
Play a bit of Jenga.
You got to have a beer. Who?
Jenga.
Who's that?
You haven't played Jenga?
Oh, is that with a wood?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you slap a bit of wood out, and you got to try and stick your wood in the thing, and you push the wood out.
Yeah. Great game. Pumpernickel. G'day, boys. Would love your opinion on the Cats' patchy form post buy. Have we been worked out, or is it a case of teams setting up the ball, forcing us to go slow? Well, a bit of both. I reckon they've worked a little bit with the Cats out, but also they're setting up behind the ball.
And also decision-making too. Like, a lot of it, I think, has to do with your decision-making and, A, making the quick decision and then executing the skill. And it seems like the Cats have maybe just sort of retreated into their shell a little bit. But that's also comes with what the opposition are doing. So it's a big challenge now for the coaching staff, because they've certainly now got some issues, and they've got to find ways to work through them, because they're a game and they're basically effectively two games on top of the ladder. So there's 17 teams that would love to be in the position they're in right now. Yep. They are experiencing a slump. The question is, are you confident they can get back to the way they were playing early in the year? And right now, after Sunday, I'd have to say the jury's out.
Yeah, I'm not confident. Yeah. Does this playing group struggle being the hunted? They were hunting down teams early in the season, but the hunger seems to be missing.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I've been banging on about this a bit, you know, Kingy, that sides set themselves for the Cats are on top of the ladder. Let's knock off the top team. So what Geelong have been able to do pretty well is absorb early pressure and then find ways past teams. I agree that it's a subconscious thing. It's not something a player would think about. But suddenly now they are being hunted. They're not hunting. How you fashion that, go back to being the hunter when you're on top of the ladder, it's a difficult one. But they've got to try and do that. They've got to try and get back and hunt the opposition. And, you know, we saw it. They did it so effectively, particularly with those small forwards. The pressure was just intense early in the year. Mm. It's just dropped off. I'm sure there's more factors than just being hunted. You mentioned the ball movement, the capacity to have players and players who are just out of form. So there's a whole heap of varieties of measures that go into that. They've just got to find a way to get back to it.
Bots Master, guys, terrible game on Sunday, made worse with the screaming person sitting behind me. Would it be possible to get someone to write on the club backboard, I will not kick it down the line 1,000 times?
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, we've got... But is that... Yeah, that's what you're given, I suppose. And
if that's the only place you can kick it to.
And every now and then that's okay.
Yeah.
But when you're kicking it down the line, then you're just continually getting outmarked.
Yeah.
If you can get down the line to Brad Otten's, it's okay. But if you can get down the line and Reece Stanley's getting his pants pulled down, it's not great.
Foxdog50 just wanted to talk about the ruck situation. I know you will discuss this, but I'll just ask by a small chance you don't. He writes at the bottom, you heard this first. Chris Scott will play Stanley against Sydney, as they don't have a recognised ruckman, and he'll play a blinder, and he'll be saying, what a performance from Stanley, LOL.
Well, I that's obviously... Who's saying that?
That was Foxdog50.
Foxdog50 is obviously being a little bit facetious. But there is some upside to that. And I'm not suggesting... I mean, I'd probably like to see them give Zach Smith a go. But if they don't and they go with Reece Stanley and he plays well, do you know what? At least Reece Stanley's got some confidence out of the game.
Especially going into Sandilands the following week.
Like I said, we have to go with one of two.
Yeah, can't
and they're not. That. Either option isn't fantastic. But you've got to find the one who's going to give you something on the day. And if Reece Stanley played well against... What's his name? McLean.
Hayden McLean.
Old Haydos.
Yeah, second game.
Yeah, then at least he gets confidence out of that game. That's something.
Winty. Was Chris Scott abducted by aliens over the bye weekend, and has Brad been filling in for him since?
It was going so beautifully for Chris Scott. Now he's just got a few. Do you know what? I'd love to know, and these are the things that you'll never know, but I'd love to know whether his persona or his relationships, is he still the same as he was in round six as he is now? They're not going badly, but they're not certainly not going as well, and there's certainly some issues. I wonder how the mix is within the group.
Yep. Keyboard Warrior. Hey guys, long time listener, first time call. I'm heading down to watch the boys play in Sydney on Sunday from Newcastle.
Oh, good.
I only catch a game or two a year live due to good geography, but the games I tend to see end in shocking losses. I've seen losses to Sydney 2 years ago, Essendon last year in the country round, and versus the Dogs at Marvel this year. I seem to be somewhat of a bad luck charm. Keyboard Warrior, I have one thing to say. Don't get anywhere near Gosford. Just stay north of Gosford if you can, please. Don't even get in the Moore Park precinct.
So he's heading to the G, the SCG.
I've already committed to never going to watch a grand final should we ever make it, but do you have any advice for me this weekend? A rain dance, special undies. Take the field as the 19th man. Let me know.
I'd say no undies.
No.
Just in case you come down and you meet the love of your life and they're sitting in 26B and you're in 26C and then you just got the no underpan on, you're ready for action. We might be at it. We'll be up there. We might.
Keyboard Warrior.
Yeah, get the Keyboard Warrior on the
car. Make sure you're tweeting us, Keyboard Warrior.
Yeah, tweet us through.
Or we'll call in Keyboard Warrior.
Because we've got the great Jeff Smith. I think it's Jeff Smith. I'll just have to check this, King. I've got to look some stuff up because we have got...
What?
We have got the great Jeff Smith from Sox Sports in Sydney riding the boundary for K-Rock on Sunday.
Where's Julian Dorr?
Kevin Hardwick.
Peter Playfair.
Yeah, no, he's otherwise on secondment, so he's unable to do it. So Jeff Smith, so we might be able to get Jeff to go and catch up with the Keyboard Warrior.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much trouble are we in?
Ooh, yeah.
I'd say 5.
So what's the slot? Is 1...
1 being not much and 10 being in deep shies.
Okay. I'll say it's 4.
Yep. I'm a 5.
And if they lose this week, it's 6.5.
Okay. Daz Broncos nearly missed the cutoff. Pleasure to be hosted last week, so thanks again. I'll tell you what, those Coors Lights went down very, very nice. Thank you.
I can imagine.
Thank you, Daz. I'm sure by the point of this podcast, you've already covered what the WTF is going on, so I'll leave that alone. What is the latest on Freddie's knee and Zathry's ankle? Will Narkle and Chook get the nod this week? And has James Parsons, who was not alone in being poor this week, to be fair, been placed in the George Holland Smith category of being too good for VFL but not good enough at AFL level? Great to be here, and I'll listen from the other side of the pond. He's heading home, Daz Broncos, back to the US. I did put a call into the club last night. I'm still waiting to hear back in regards to... Nathan Kruger and Zach Guthrie.
So. What's the whisper, King? Is the whisper is it's not good?
For Kruger.
Or for either of them?
No, I don't. I just don't know. Nah, we're waiting to hear. And the Cats have obviously raised some issues.
And the fact that we haven't heard, would you suggest that fear's the worst?
Yeah, I don't know.
I reckon it does.
Yeah. Oh, look. Well, it's a knee for Kruger and an ankle for Guthrie. So
with Kruger, I think you just usually if it's not too bad or it's not the ACL, they'll come out straight away and say it's a MCL or it's a sprain.
Hyperextension.
And he'll miss a month and he'll be okay. And just the longer it goes without hearing anything is never a great sign, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah. Turbo Cat, one game in percentage clear on top of the ladder, yet very few, if anyone, is predicting Geelong as premiers. A lot not even predicting a Geelong grand final appearance. Surely have we seen enough now to have an opinion on the 29 version? Who on the K-Rock team thinks that Geelong makes the grand final and do they win? Do they win a final and what's the outcome if Geelong has another butter in the microwave in September? To be honest, who could rule out a quick exit again? We've gone from chocolates to boiled lollies since the bye. Oh, right now, Geelong aren't winning the premiership.
You can't rule out anything,
but you can't rule them out either. But I don't. Right now, they're not winning it.
Well, I think they can.
They can, but I can name 4 clubs ahead of them right now.
Yeah, but we tend to just sort of go with whatever's happened in the previous week, don't we?
Oh, of course.
So Geelong come out and smash Sydney, and then West Coast drop a game to whoever they're playing.
They've got North Melbourne at Optus.
Yeah, so, and then suddenly, oh, geez.
Yeah, Collingwood.
Collingwood were up and about a week ago beating West Coast, then they go to GWS, oh, they're gone.
And they might beat Richmond on Friday night.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Yeah.
So we just tend to go with the flow. It's the team that gets it right. All I know is that Geelong's best is right there.
Yep.
Geelong's best footy this year is very, very hard to beat on grand final day. Wouldn't guarantee the premiership, but it would go very, very close. A team would want to play really well to beat them, let's put it that way. But can they get back to that? Mm. A lot of sides' best isn't good enough to win it to start with.
No.
So I think they can. I think the next, obviously, that goes without saying. So the next 5 weeks is really important that they're building into finals. They're hitting finals in form. And that's why the Brisbane game's probably a good one to have 2 weeks out. Mm. The Carlton game will tell us absolutely nothing. So that Brisbane game shapes is really pivotal. Geelong would want to play well that night against a good team away from home, give themselves some confidence, beat Carlton, and then go into the finals with some momentum.
The Kingslayer has the final word. A lot of talk around town about training and the workload on the boys since the bye. Mentions of a similar tactic to 09 under Bomber by loading the training and being willing to drop a game or two as a sacrifice for hitting peak fitness come September. Would love to hear any insights on that. That always goes through my head at this time of the year when Geelong drop games is, are they in a training load that, you know, has them a bit flatter on match day?
I don't know. I think...
But they'll never tell us that. It's one of those things that come out at the end of the year.
Do you think Hawthorn was in a training load?
Well, but what? They're not potentially playing finals. Well,
they might.
No, they might, but they're probably not.
But do you go into... I don't know. I haven't spoken to anyone that suggested a training load. I think that the old training load thing comes in when you start to lose in July and say, oh, geez, we've had a training load. The thing about that is that why would you be doing that if It's like guaranteed to finish on top. Why would you actually be doing anything in terms of your training that has the potential to impact your ability to win or lose a game on a Saturday?
Yeah.
I just don't see it. They've got a pre-season that lasts longer than a Siberian winter.
Yep.
And yet we've, what, after 15 rounds of the season, we've got to suddenly then start training blokes up again.
Yeah.
Oh, calm down.
Disappointing week for a favourite of the Cat Attack podcast.
Who's that?
Peter Riccardi.
What happened to him?
Gets gobbled up by another star cat in terms of games. Selwood joins him on 288 this
Does
week.
He? Yeah. Jeez. He's a good player, Peter Riccardi. Yeah. I'd like to have him up and about.
Oh, just silk on the wing.
Yeah, the 15.
Do you know it's nearly 13 years since he retired?
Yeah. And do you know he's the only man to kick the ball in the giant coffee cup at halftime at GMA?
No, didn't somebody do it a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, did they? I didn't see. I've seen Peter Riccardi do it. Any suit with his Julius Marlowe's on, he just lobbed the left foot straight in the can.
Hey, how good are Kurz Hire looking after us again?
Oh, they're absolutely magnificent, Kurz Hire. Vakanoisen?
Thanks to Jared and the team, North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. They have been your local hire company since 1982.
You hire anything down there?
Yep.
Old keyboard warrior might be able to hire himself a little bit of to take up to the footy if he hasn't got anything already on the go.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Vakanoisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.